Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, August 15th, starting a new week. Hi, Tori.
Hello, Sam.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Your stomach is a little better today?
Yes. Don't eat street meat after an Indigo Girls concert.
Now, what's street meat? What did you eat exactly?
Oh, you know when you go and you leave a concert, it's like in Hollywood, and they have like someone cooking on the back of a shopping cart, and it's like hot dogs.
Right.
And it smells divine.
Yes, it does, right?
Ugh, with the... the
but
onions,
it's just as so, deadly,
it's
right?
It's terrible for you, as I found out. But the Indigo Girls were lovely.
Oh, you went to see the Indigo.
Oh, yes.
Are they still around?
I went there. They were fabulous.
I guess.
Great. Great.
Wow, very cool. They're like, what, country music?
It's more like folk singer-songwriter. When I was in eighth grade, I used to write poetry to them with candles. It was very dramatic.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah,
not my kind of music, no. But I respect your love for
my
it.
My poor husband was like, okay.
Or you dragged him to
it. Oh, yeah, wow. It was wonderful.
Thank you all for joining us. In a few minutes, we have a great guest in the studio. We'll bring him in. A couple things we want to talk about, I guess, is the... did you see the medal count already?
Oh, yeah.
The U.S. has got 70 medals. The next one is Great Britain with 40. So we're leaving... I mean, we're like almost double the second place.
It's amazing. And then I will say, Michael Phelps just released... There was a new Under Armour ad with Michael Phelps in it, and it's gone viral. And if you haven't seen it, Google Michael Phelps Under Armour. Not only is it amazing commercial, but there's a video of him watching it for the first time with his wife, because Under Armour showed it to him like as a surprise at their headquarters, and they're sobbing.
Really?
It's so great for today. It's so motivational. It's about what you have to do in the dark to make it in the light. It's really good.
So like an emotional...
Very. Like thing. One of those great Nike ads that you always like think about. It's wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's Under Armour though?
It's like Puma or Nike. It's like an athletic brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That was kind of deodorant or something. Under
Armour.
It
does sound... That is a good name for that. Under Armour. Good.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, for those of you who don't think we're the best, we are the best.
Yeah, we are way
the best.
At
least in sports, you know. But, you know, so you wonder sometimes why that is, right? I mean, like China is a lot more populous than us, so they have more to choose from and stuff. Do you think it's our, like, technology, the way we treat people?
Yes. I think it's like the training and the technology.
Right.
And I think that shows the best of America, like the scientific mix between kinesiology, psychology. We just are far and away better.
Right.
I mean, Kate Ledecky, when they talked about her coach, and they shaved like 4 seconds off of her time because of certain training and algorithms.
Wow.
And that's pretty rad.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it is the training, the technology. I don't know. I also get the sense, and tweet me if I'm wrong, but like the Chinese are terrified, and it feels like our girls are having so much more fun, for instance, in gymnastics. It just seems more relaxed.
That's true. They're always like very tense, right?
Oh, my God. You're like, if they lose, they're never going to be heard from again. I get worried. And they're so little.
Sent to the gulag or something.
You see them do one step, and they're like, oh, no.
Oh, God.
Terrible.
It is terrible, you know? And but there was an interview with Michael Phelps I watched a little bit last night, and... I mean, you know, imagine having so many medals, you know, more than anybody, you know.
From ancient Greece, he beat that record.
Right.
Like, that's unbelievable.
Right.
So he's allowed to do whatever he wants for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
You
he's the king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Usain Bolt win, too, his race. He's won the 100 3 times in a row. And he did the thing where he had time to look around at the end and then smile. I'm like, this guy... It's crazy.
I know. Well, that's the thing. For some people, it's easier.
It would just look like effortless for him.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's when you know they're a pro, you know, when it looks easy.
So it's like the Fred and Ginger Rogers of running. But he, like, it looks like he's going the same pace. And then just for one step, he starts to go way ahead of them all. And I'm like... What is happening?
Yeah, I know. It's very interesting to watch these things, you know, because sometimes you go, okay, this is the leader in this run, then she's going to win. You know, suddenly these girls come from the back.
It's the best drama.
Right.
Drama.
You know? It's really
except
cool.
The social media this year has just ruined it. I go on HuffPo and I know who's won at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
Or I go on like Twitter and it's interesting. They don't want the drama.
Yeah. So they don't put it up there? Is that what it is?
They tell you right away so it's all spoiled.
Right.
So yeah. It's very weird.
Then don't go on social media.
I know,
what
but
can
how can
I
you
say?
Avoid it?
Yeah,
right?
I know, right?
It's like your shadow.
How do you pry me away from Facebook?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I know, but because I was thinking to myself, could I go like a few months without Facebook? Mm. And you know what? I guess once you get used to it, I think you could live without it. It's just that I like to be in contact with people to know what they're doing and stuff, you know? But at the same time, it's not like it's a life or death kind of thing.
It feels like it for the first like 2 days. You're like, oh, I can't do it. I read a book where it says it takes 28 days to either change a habit or break a habit.
Yeah.
So I bet on the 29th day of no Facebook, you'd be okay.
Yeah,
but
I guess,
But on like day
right?
four, we would be clawing at the wall.
I know. Like, I need to know what's going on.
What
you
are
know?
You eating for lunch?
Yeah, I know. I know. It's not like there's a lot of valuable stuff there, right?
It's terrible content, if you really look at it. It's like today I woke up and immediately looked at my Facebook and there's a baby watching Rocky and like hitting a punching bag in the air. And I'm like, this is important.
Yeah, okay. This is what we're watching.
This is what's happening.
Yeah, right. That's funny. Well, you talk about Twitter, I guess... Justin Bieber tweeted a picture of him and his new girlfriend.
And I watched it on Instagram. He posted like 8 or 9 in a row.
Oh, yeah.
It's just them in the car making poses.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God.
And so, but why are the haters coming out? And, you know, because maybe people are jealous of or something.
There's
I don't
a
know
weird people with Beliebers. That's people that believe in Justin Bieber. They're called Beliebers.
Beliebers.
Which is hilarious. But they are very protective of Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
So he had to come out and say, guys, I'm going to go off if you don't stop the hate. Like, stop protecting me. I'm happy. There's this weird ownership that the Beliebers have.
Right, yeah. Like, they own his ass, right?
Yeah.
I know, but, you know, it's crazy.
Oh, it's wacky.
And then they tell him, if you can't take the hate, don't post the pictures,
but,
you know?
Yeah, but he should... I mean, it's so strange, but he's one of those ones where fans are, like, rabid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Where, like, it's not just like, yeah, I like him. You're like, I can't live without Bieber.
That's true. Now, did he date Selena Gomez before?
Heck yes.
Okay, so
okay,
so that's why she tweeted to him. She says, if you can't handle the hate, then stop posting pictures of your girlfriend.
Ooh,
LOL. It
damn.
Should be special between you two only. Don't be mad at your fans. They love you. They were there for you before anyone.
That's such a passive-aggressive beatdown. Right? I love it. Great job. That's like leaving a post-it for your roommate.
Yeah, right?
Someone's not cleaning the dishes.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's like kind of catty too.
Oh, it's 100%. That's pretty catty, but that's great. Good for her. There's a really good meme or gif or gif, whatever you want to call it, and it's of Selena Gomez going to give a kiss to Justin Bieber backstage, and Taylor Swift, who's best friends with Selena Gomez, sticks out her tongue like she's throwing up. It's hilarious. She's not a fan.
Oh, wow. This generation. Interesting.
So dumb.
Yeah. So, and one more thing before we get to our guest, I wanted to bring up. They have the salaries of world leaders.
Mm.
And it's funny because I remember when I was in school, I was in high school, and we learned about government and political science and stuff. The president's salary was about $100,000. Mm-hmm. Now it's $400,000. So that's what Barack Obama is making, and that's what Hillary or Trump would make. The next one is so much less, Canada, at $260,000. So
I feel like in Canada, they just pay him in love and kisses.
Right, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that. But I mean...
So $260,000, Germany's $242,000, Japan $241,000. South Africa, 206. So, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously this makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
We're the biggest, most powerful country in the world.
Yeah.
You better know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
And,
I don't mind that. I mind, like, CEOs of companies that are making millions and millions and millions, and the workers are making, like, 15 an hour.
But why do you mind that? Why do you mind that? I mean, don't you think everybody gets paid for whatever they...
I know what you're saying. Like, it's
the
like
value
an Ayn
they
Rand,
bring.
Right, like an Ayn Rand thing. Like, why not make that? They should be able to make that much money.
Try to figure out if you had the responsibility of a Yahoo or Microsoft or something, right?
I totally
That's
hear
what
that.
I'm saying. So it goes along. I mean, if they didn't deserve it, they wouldn't get it.
I hear that.
And the thing is, when they're responsible for billions of dollars, I can understand the pay. Man, look, I don't like it. I'm jealous. I'm envious. But it doesn't mean that they don't deserve
it. It's capitalism at its best.
Exactly.
I just think... I feel like if I were that CEO, I'd be like the Zappos guy that like gives all it away. Yeah, or Oprah, right. Like takes him to Hawaii for every Christmas. Yeah. It's just such a distinct polarization of the wealth that scares me.
Right.
But you're right. It is capitalism.
Yeah. It's all about how much you contribute to your employer, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. that's your value. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, teachers don't make a lot because they, you know, financially, they don't contribute to anybody. You know what I'm saying?
But don't they contribute to, like, everything?
They do. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think they deserve more.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But what I'm saying is that, like, for example, a teacher should make more than a football player, for example.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The incentive should be there for the teacher.
Right. Or, whatever. But the thing is, the reason they don't get paid a lot, there's no owner that is going to, like, that they have to earn a certain amount for that they would pay them.
There's no profit for them, so that
Then at the same time, you know, a football player will make like, you know, millions of dollars, and you're like, what the hell, man? Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. but they're making their owners millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So that's
so interesting.
It's all about that. It's your value in the market. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
I'm being paid $1 million an episode, by the way. I just want to let you guys know.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely envious now.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And then the friendliest cities in the world.
Oh, yeah?
Number one is Charleston, South Carolina.
All right.
Believe it or not.
My dad's from South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah, Columbia.
Wow. Never been there, but it seems like sort of an obscure place, but then it's like really in the news lately, right?
Yeah, it's got this, my friends moved, it's got this old genteel, you kind of feel like you're in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride with the beautiful willow trees. Everyone's a little slower, kinder. It's like the best of the South.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Well, they're obviously friendly, so that's where you should go. The same Europeans actually come to Charleston, which is unusual.
It has a sense of Europe because everyone's a little so much slower and kinder.
Really?
Yeah, it's a laid-back living.
Yeah, huh?
And it's become like the new Portland. Like, everyone's going to Charleston or Austin. You know how everyone went to Austin.
Right.
Lord.
The second one is Sydney, Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Number two. Australians are known as really nice, friendly mm-hmm. people. Number three is Dublin in Ireland. Mm. Number fourth, Queenstown, New Zealand. Mm. So notice Australia and New Zealand are down there, you know, and we know they're all nice people. Park City, Utah, Galway, Ireland. So that's another place in Ireland. And then a few more. Then Nashville, Tennessee, which they're saying is very friendly. So.
Yeah, I went to Nashville for a bachelorette party.
Really?
It was friendly, but I was definitely drunk the whole time. So everyone was friendly.
So everybody seemed friendly to you, right?
It was just globs of bachelorette parties. Yeah. That's all I saw. It's become the new hit. But I had a blast.
Wow. Woo. Very cool. All right, well, folks, we're going to bring in our guest now who's sitting here patiently. I might add he drove a long way to come and be with us, so he's very special to us. Dave Daly, the Monster Woo-hoo. Motivator. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. Awesome. And for those of you who don't know Dave, we'll take pictures. He definitely looks menacing.
You want him as your bodyguard at all times.
But he also seems like the nicest guy I've ever met.
That's right.
You know, so there you go. You know, you never know.
That's right.
You never know by a person's look and stuff. But so you've got tattoos, you've got the muscles, you've got everything. Did you always look like this?
Well, I've been an athlete my whole life.
Really?
Yeah, and I talk about that in my story when I do my keynotes. Is sports really pulled me out of a lot of trouble because I was a horrible, horrible student.
Really?
Yeah, my mom was at the principal's office as much as I was.
Trust me.
School was not for me, but I was always that physical guy, right? I started wrestling at fourth grade.
Wow.
So I that was my outlet, and still today, I'll be 50 this September.
Wow.
A few more hours where it's ticking down, and the gym is my therapy. Mm-hmm. That I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And there's times where I actually do two-a-days just because it clears my head and it gets me. That's my zen.
Mm-hmm.
That is my zen, the gym and the weights. So, yeah.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, you're so fortunate that you managed to make it a big part of your life, you know. Because I hate working out so much.
I do, too.
But, you know, if you can get to the point where you love it.
Well, here's what happened.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
See, I went through, I had a real, real bad motorcycle accident years ago. And I could have, if I hit a different way, I could have been paralyzed or dead.
I read it. You hit it like a wall and then it went up into a tree or something.
I was up in Vermont on those back little windy roads and all boulders. And I lost control and it sent me right into a boulder. And I was, at the time, I was married. So my brother-in-law came back to find me, and he pulls me down from the from the tree. So, yeah,
from the tree.
Yeah, it was unbelievable,
that
right?
Was so scary.
Yeah, but it was almost taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And from that, once I healed, because I broke everything on the right side, punctured along the whole bit. Once I healed, or started to heal, I should say, because I was in the gym much earlier than I should have been, it just lit something in me, that gratitude. Like, mm-hmm. I could be in a wheelchair, or I could be dead. Mm-hmm. And, man, was I so grateful.
That's the best motivator.
Grateful that you can actually...
Well, life.
Yeah, that you can actually move and work out and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes life has to beat you on the head a couple times.
Man, a lot for me.
Right?
I don't know why. But.
People who go through like near-death experiences often say that they're like, oh, the next day was the start of a new life. That was it. I just saw it in a totally different way.
It puts life just, you know, I always say life puts you through boot camps, man.
Right.
And you're gonna figure out who you are real quick.
Right.
And life makes the rules.
Wow. Yeah. So did you have a tough childhood growing up?
I didn't have a tough childhood, but I just was horrible in school, you know. D's and F's. And they were the times that I went.
Right.
You know what I mean? To be honest
with
you.
Were you like rebellious, or were you just didn't love school?
I was just a combination of everything, right?
Got it.
Hyper, craziness. That's why I love to be outside playing sports, doing things that were physical. But you put me in that classroom, and it was a torture.
Right.
I went to school really for sports and hanging out with my friends.
Right.
It was more social.
Well, most kids
and
are
the
like
report
that.
Cards,
yeah.
The report cards back
show
that up.
That.
Yeah, right?
A for socialization. Yeah,
exactly. An A for football.
That's right.
F for everything.
That's
else.
Right. The kids who are hyper, sports are great for them to get that energy out.
It's
everything.
It's like everything.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Right. Or whatever it is that they connect with. If you like dancing, whatever that is to release those endorphins.
Right.
It's my savior.
I never get the endorphins. I work out so hard. And then I'm like, is it going to come? And I'm like, no, I just still hate it.
They're still trapped in there and you didn't release them?
I haven't had one. Not one yet. Just waiting.
Well, we'll keep doing it.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
It'll happen.
Maybe
you need Dave to train
you. I know.
You know?
God dang.
He'll let you get in touch with the endorphins.
Seriously.
Sure. Well, so where did you grow up?
I grew up in Jersey.
In Jersey.
Yeah.
Was that like a tough neighborhood for you, or was it?
It was. It's much different. It's much different than Southern California.
It
sure.
is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up, in an area that, you know, boys are supposed to be men real quick, you know,
really?
And showing emotions, showing your feelings. It's just so.
It was a no-no, huh?
It just is such a no-no. And I kind of share a pretty funny story how I got into personal development and everything that I talk about now and how it's really changed my life. But in the very beginning, I was hearing this stuff, looking at this lady, this very spiritual lady, like she had three heads. I'm like, what?
It's like a different language.
I'm like, wait a minute. Well, it's completely a different language than,
right.
you know. But at the same time, and I share another part in my keynote, and it's about this guy, Tommy, that came into my life from the neighborhood, wasn't supposed to make it, very successful, taught me how to cold call, sell. And that created a whole another direction. But if he was here today, and I said Tommy did all this for me, he was my mentor. He look at me like he go, what?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He told me, he goes, get in there, give him the card, start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go,
you have no choice. You have to do it.
But that's how we grew up. And a lot of times it's, you know, get just pushed in the pool and you better figure it out.
And God knows cold calling is hard.
Oh, I was doing 40 to 50 a day.
Really?
That's terrifying.
That was one of the things. I went from construction because that's all I knew. I dropped out of high school, never graduated. I grew up where they said, I never graduated high school, D's and F's, ADD. Left back in the second grade, so I wasn't supposed to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got right into construction because when I dropped out of high school and I got home, that was not the prettiest day in the world. Mm-hmm. My dad said, you know what? You better figure out what you're going to do. How are you going to make a living? I thought, that's a great question. What am I going to do? So I got right into construction, and how it plays out is I just answered an ad in the newspaper, and it was an outside sales job. And Tommy was the owner of the company, and just he saw something in me.
Well, you're like a natural, right? Like as soon as we met him, I was like, I could talk to you forever.
But what's interesting, right, is I tell people and I share this story because when I went there, right, I had no business being there. On paper, I had no business being there, but Tommy saw something in me, mm-hmm. right? And he didn't listen to that outside noise, mm-hmm. and he took that chance. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, there's a whole lot of things I don't know, right? And there's a whole lot of things I'm still not going to know by the time I die. But here's what I do know for sure. If you want success in whatever it is in life, figure out how you could be a Tommy for somebody.
Mm. So be a mentor. Be somebody who
give back. Life. Yeah. Job. But yeah. Give back. Whether you realize it or not. Like I said, Tommy would look at me like, "You, like, what? Yeah. Are you
like
crazy?"
To him, it didn't mean this meant it was just, everything to you.
Right. To him, it was second nature, right? This is what you do. This is how you do it. Get in there and don't come back until you do it. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was broke, right? Yeah. I was in construction. It was in like the times of 2007, 2008 where it was nothing. The guy bought me 3 suits, 3 shirts, 3 ties, everything. I mean, just said, yeah. Yeah,
really? And did you become good at it?
I did.
Really?
And that actually helped me because the last 20, 22 years, I've been an entrepreneur and I've built and sold 3 companies in 3 different industries.
Wow.
But that what Tommy taught me, right, was I could walk into any business, any house, walk up to anybody, look them in the eye, shake their hand, and say, "Here's who I am, mm-hmm. and here's what I got."
It's almost like he gave you a shot at the dignity.
Well, you know what he did? He gave me first of all, he was the first successful adult at that time in mm-hmm. my life that told me they believed in me, mm-hmm. and he showed me that he believed in me.
Wow.
And I'm a big, big believer in everything. Everything starts and stops for everyone about your self-image. So you could build your self-image up.
Mm-hmm.
You could tear it down, mm-hmm. but you cannot outperform it.
Mm-hmm.
And up to that point, my self-image when it came to business, you know,
yeah,
it was
you
so
had no
out of
idea.
My world,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
When I answered the ad, it said, "Outside sales, selling copiers of fax machines B2B. Now, I would know nothing about outside sales, right, at the time.
You were like, is this
copiers
outside?
And copiers of fax machines, I know what they are, but I certainly don't enough to be able to sell them. And B2B, I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah, man.
But it said right underneath, big bold letters, it said, "Please call. No experience necessary." I thought,
That is me.
That's my resume. I know nothing. I need somebody to teach me something.
That's fantastic.
So, and that's what happened. And Tommy was like, he wasn't supposed to make it either. Right.
Yeah.
Everyone
that
was working for him, like in the corporate end, his sales managers, his general managers, all had the degrees on the wall.
Really?
And Tommy came from the neighborhood and goes, No, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
you don't learn that in school.
Oh,
how to sell
listen,
like this.
Listen,
you know?
It's real. It's you know, that's why I always say theory, keep it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
keep
yeah.
that. Keep that in your pocket.
Right.
I want real life, real results, real steps for proven results. Absolutely.
Right. And, you know, my contention is if you're good at sales, you can succeed at anything.
Because life is.
Right?
Life is sales.
Life is sales.
I could sell an ice cube to an Eskimo.
Really?
I am phenomenal.
Whoa.
And I've always worked high-end retail, and it's because I'm, like, genuinely interested and invested in each customer. And I sell bridal, and I can tell I'll work till the ends of the earth to find them a bridal dress. And it's like, it comes second nature. Some people have it, some people don't have
it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you're born with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't really, it's hard to learn it.
Really
it
really is,
you know?
That genuine.
You have to have that personality, that temperament.
And find that niche. See, right. I only work for Tommy 8 months because I'm the least technical guy you're ever going to meet. I mean, the Geek Squad knows me by first name, right? But I had no idea about copiers and fax machines. I didn't care about them, but he saw that. So he goes, "Listen, here's what you do," right? And this is, you know, give you a little visual of Tommy. He was a combination of Joe Pesci and Danny DeVito.
Oh, I'm right? So there.
Oh, he, right? Right? So he goes, "Listen."
That's what I pictured.
Yeah,
he goes, "Let me tell you, kid, here's what you do." He goes, "You go in, you get the decision maker. Just get a meeting. Give me a call and we'll take care of it from there."
Right.
So I'd call. They'd bring the tech. The tech would show them everything. And I'd just keep the communication going
with
the guy. He goes,
"You open the door for them."
But here's
that's the hardest thing to do.
Here's the other thing that Tommy taught me, and I couldn't define it then. And it completely helped me tremendously in my other businesses, is when I look at a business either buying it or starting it, I reverse engineer, meaning I want to always identify my weaknesses and enhance them with the people that enhance my weaknesses so I can double down, triple down on my strengths. Mm-hmm. Right. See, that's and
yeah,
that's,
that makes sense.
That's one of the things he just taught me. He goes, mm-hmm. don't worry about the copier machine, right?
Right?
We don't care if you know if this thing goes upside. I didn't even know how to turn it on.
That's right. Right?
I had no idea.
Really?
But I was selling them.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I don't know anything about bridal gowns, and I was like, ba-boom, 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 because I was like,
just
know
do
the,
it.
Do my
that's
strength.
What selling is. It doesn't matter what you sell.
It's
you
true.
Know?
Well,
it's,
you know why? Because it's relationships.
Yeah.
You want to, and here I'm a huge. I'm glad you brought this up because I'm a huge, huge fan, supporter, advocate of EQ. EQ trumps IQ all day long in the real world. Mm-hmm. That's the reality.
Yeah.
That EQ. We have that coming out of our ears.
It's crazy.
IQ, I'm still searching for it myself. So.
And that's emotional quotient, right?
Yes.
That's what it stands for. For those of you know, emotional intelligence. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it makes sense. You know, the people have to be okay with themselves because before they can perform well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, and I think that's a major motivation for people. To find out that even if you don't have any, you don't have much education, you don't have experience, you don't have, you know, you can always do something with your personality, mm-hmm. you know, with your drive,
mm-hmm.
you
That's
know.
The word drive. You can do it with your drive.
Right.
Alone,
you know. But tap into that power inside of you. Some people are not cold calling. I mean, I can sell anything, but I won't cold call, mm-hmm. you know.
That's
it's
terrifying.
Like if you come to me, I can sell you no problem.
Sure,
you know?
But it is it is different when you have to call out without the
It is,
yeah,
and people don't
true.
Come to you. Usually you have to go to them.
Yeah, it's a boot camp. It's a boot camp. Funny, you talked about the other, the thing you just mentioned. My ex-wife, I was married for a while. My ex-wife was a corporate event planner. And long story short, we were at a football game, and she introduced me to this gentleman that had, at the time, $60, $70 million heating and air conditioning company. He had a lot of contracts down at casinos.
Oh, wow.
So we wound up talking, and I'm trying to pick his brain, right? I'm in my first business, so
right.
We're just hanging out. I'm trying to pick his brain. And at the end, when we leave, we're driving home, and my wife, Michelle, I said, that guy was amazing. Oh, my God, I want to stay connected with him. She goes, you know something? I said, what? She goes, he can't even put an email together. His email looks like a two-year-old, right? So what that did is that set another seed. Wait a minute here. Wait a minute. Don't be focused on the wrong thing if this is what you want, right?
Right.
And he just surrounded himself with the right people. But she said his emails were like, what in the world? She had to look down at the signature to make sure
right?
it was him. Guy's running a $60, $70 million company.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. You see, you have to have business sense. You have to have self-confidence. Mm-hmm. It's not... And then you got to know to surround yourself by smart people, right? I mean, to make up for what you don't know.
Yes. Smarter than you.
Yeah.
That's the key.
I know.
That's funny. Like, and I will not bring up this again, but Trump, what people say is he isn't surrounding himself. Usually a president will surround themselves with advisors that know more.
And that's what
somehow,
I was counting
right?
on.
Right. And
but
Trump
apparently
has,
not,
we're,
right?
We're all like, oh, well, at least he'll find somebody who knows. He's just alone. That's the weird part. There's no, you got to surround yourself
and
by
that,
people
And you
smarter.
Know what? That's a very interesting point because a lot of people don't realize that one of the biggest reasons that his casinos went down is that he lost three or four of his top advisors that ran everything in a helicopter crash at one time. I mean, like that overnight. So what happened was he went to Steve Wynn and said, what? You know, everything started to unfold because he had those people around him. And here's what he found. I think it's so cool or interesting anyway, is two things. He went to Steve Wynn. Steve said, you need to get down there. You need to figure out what's going on. He went down there, but he realized he had no passion for that business. Everything was real estate. So I'm a big believer, a big guy on your why. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your why? Because that's going to pull you through. And he realized,
this is not my why.
And what a way to realize it, right? I mean,
but
he had those people. So I think that's an interesting observation that you saw because it was reverse in his other businesses.
Yeah.
So
my dad's the smartest person I know, and he goes, if I'm the smartest person in the room, there's a problem.
You're in the wrong room.
I'm in the wrong room. I want smarter people in that room.
Wow.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I always say you get the lowest ROI.
Right.
You get the lowest return on investment because...
That's true. But it's not easy to find smart people.
No, it's not. Oh, it's so not.
It's
so,
not,
so many
know.
Dumb people.
So sometimes you just sit and you get bored, you know, or I do at least, you know. But what can you do? You know, I mean, the thing is that you have to, You have to worry about yourself. You have to worry about, or you have to pay attention to who you hang out with, yeah, because that's what's going to matter in the end, I think.
And you got to search out things like, okay, so I found when I would go to auditions, I was trying to make friends with girls and they just were not into, I'm from the DC and talking about politics or anything. So I'd join a book club. So you have, and then you find more like-minded people.
Right.
But
that's
yeah, they
idea.
Were not into.
Yeah, right.
Into it. Oh my God.
I know. And it's hard finding people smarter than you. I mean, admit it, you know.
I think a lot of people think that way.
Yeah, I'm more on the, I think it's easier to find smart people with the common sense.
Yeah.
That's the rough one.
That's true. Smart. Yeah.
That's the rough one.
Yeah. So I'm still looking for smart people, but, you know, maybe I'll find them eventually.
One day.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Dave Daly. He's known as the Monster Motivator, and you have the initials DDMM, which is very cool. How did you come up with the brand?
You know, that's I get that asked a lot. And, you know, the Monster Motivator, I've been a, whether I could define it or not, I've been a motivator my whole life. When I believe in something or someone, I am all in. Just like if I start to hear excuses and why they can't, I'm all out. Mm-hmm. It's one way or the other for me. So and that's how I live my life. I don't know any other way. And when I look back, again, if I couldn't define it, that's how I've been my whole life. And I think that's probably why I love sports, and it's probably why I loved wrestling, because it was a team sport, but it was still one. It was, if I lost, it was on me. Mm-hmm. If I didn't train right, it was on me, right? I'm the only one out on that mat except for my opponent. So I think all that combined, but to answer your question, right, it's once I believe in you, man, it's on. Wow. You're the biggest fan ever.
That's true. That's cool. So now, how did you transition from working for Tommy for 6 months, 8 months? And right, is that what you said?
Well, that was my very first exposure outside of being a laborer in construction, right? And I did everything under.
And
the
then stuff. Where did you go after that?
So then I went. I just did some other outside sales, but interesting. I had in between after that, there was a window where I was looking for work. And this was before the internet. So we had to get the newspaper.
Yeah, remember that? Circle it in a red pen.
Yeah.
This is mine.
I know. So I answered a few ads for interviews, and one was not a 100% commission. And when I went there, they didn't hire me, and I'm thinking, man. And then all of a sudden, I guess life just said, you belong in 100% sales commission. So I did that for years before I even started my own business. And it was me. I wasn't micromanaged. If I don't bring it in, I don't eat. Right. I love to eat.
Right.
And
I love to eat.
Me too.
I sure do.
Me too.
That's the biggest motivator for me.
Yeah.
Big money.
My whole day is around when am I going to eat?
Yeah. Well, if you eat street meat, you're not that discriminating.
And I'd already had a really good dinner.
That's monster mode. Right there. That's monster mode, girl.
It's dreadful.
So, okay. So then you, 100% commission? So what were they making?
Oh, I mean, at the time, I was 23 years old, 24 years old. I was making $150,000 a year.
Right. But, I mean, what was the employer making if you were making 100% commission?
They were killing it. But here's what happened. I learned the industry and then went on my own.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it.
Yeah. I learned.
Teach a man to fish.
Yes.
He'll feed himself.
Yes. And the other thing is my other businesses were all, whoever I brought on besides the office staff, right, were all 100% commission.
That's awesome.
You know, because I hate to babysit. I have no patience for that.
Right.
And it weeds everyone out from get-go, right? If you can't get off your draw within certain time, it's just not for you.
Right,
and that's
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You see, and that's the thing is that, you know, I for example, I tried a saleswoman. She insisted on base. I said, okay, we'll give you some base and stuff. She did nothing for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give base. But then again, people won't work with you. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think a draw. I think you need to set up a draw.
So it's a draw against the commission.
And a timeline.
Right.
Right. You need.
That's
you,
what happened. After 3 weeks, I told her, get the hell out of here. You know, you haven't done anything.
And think about this, right? Like you said, teach them how to fish. Mm-hmm. Is there's no... you know if somebody has that in their eye, right?
Right.
Because it's very on the surface.
There's no limit.
Yeah,
there's no ceiling. right? Yeah. That's what I loved about 100% sales commission. And like you said, well, what's that guy making, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about before getting on the air, I'm a big, big believer. Look, I don't make the rules. You don't make the rules. Life makes the rules. And life says the more value you bring, the more successful you're going to be mm-hmm. in whatever that is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be monetary, right? If you're a better mom than the other one, you're going to get better returns.
Right.
That's just, that's what life tells us, right?
Exactly.
And I believe that, you know, a lot of people are lost in the fact that they feel like they deserve it, but life says, whoa, wait a minute, you haven't earned it yet.
Yeah.
You haven't earned it yet.
And that's very much like what people are complaining about the millennial generation is they think, or this is in quotes, they think they deserve everything now without working for it. That's like the common thing.
Well,
you hear.
It's a great thing, but look at, how about this? The craziness with all the startup companies, right? Yeah. These young kids getting out of college and they're having money thrown at them mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they have no idea how to run a business
right.
and they don't even realize, a lot of them don't even realize that you just gave up 30% of your company if this does go,
right?
But they think it's just almost like, it reminds me almost like the mortgage back in 2005, 2004, where if you could fog up a mirror, you could get a mortgage, right?
Literally. I mean, do you have a liver? Sure, here's one. Okay.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
You need a mansion in La Jolla?
Done,
here you
done.
Go.
Yeah. Crazy.
But yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's, you got to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So you're in San Diego, right? That's where you live?
I am. I'm North County, okay. San Diego.
So now tell us what you do with all this motivation and stuff. You mentioned speaking and things like that.
I do keynote speaking, a lot of corporate work, but also I have a live stream TV show called Monster Motivator TV.
Wow.
And we're mobile. We come to you, or I have a studio up in Marietta, uh-huh. and we promote local businesses, entrepreneurs, nonprofits, people that are making a difference in their community. Uh-huh. And we come to you and we just, we blow it up.
He's like the new Tommy. Mm-hmm. This is great. Yes. Giving people the chance. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Ever since I've met Tommy, that's my goal.
That's right.
Right? Be another Tommy.
That's
right.
Crazy.
So what are some of the things that you use to motivate people? I mean, is it mostly words, or do you spank them? What do you do?
Wow. Love it.
You know, here's my thing. I speak on two subjects. Right, it's leadership through motivation, inspiration, and perspiration, and how to identify and crush through those dreaded fear barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a big believer. There's a lot of people in my niche, in my industry, personal development, self-help, however you want to talk about it, always run from the word motivation because they think it's too shallow. But look, at the end of the day, here's the deal. I believe is motivation, inspiration, and perspiration. I have those words in that category for a reason. See, motivation gets you to the starting blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Without motivation, what do you have?
Exactly. Right.
But motivation comes from the outside. So it's that goal. It's that destination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you marry that with inspiration, which comes from the inside, like your why,
mm-hmm.
right? Now that's going to carry you through, and nothing happens without perspiration.
That's
right.
True.
Right?
You have to.
And if you do this in reverse, and you start taking all this crazy action without having that why, that inspiration, and without having that destination,
right.
you're chasing your tail, right? And then all of a sudden you give up. So I think people are on both ends of that spectrum. But I'm a big believer in motivation is everything from the beginning, right? You have to have it. For me, it's whatever their circumstance is, I just break it down as it's not what you do, but it's really how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was in three different industries. I was able to, and trust me when I tell you, I've had plenty of failures and plenty of boot camps that life gave me.
Yeah, well,
for
it
sure.
means you tried a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, I can't help it. It's just in my DNA.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're an entrepreneur type of person,
mm-hmm.
and you realize that you got to do things for yourself, right? You're not going to work for somebody else.
No, I just can't.
Right.
I can't.
So now, what are some of the ways like to motivate people? I mean, what do you tell them, actually?
Well, I kind of break it down this way is first and foremost, you have to identify your why,
mm-hmm.
right? And actually, let me go back a little
bit. So people have to go inside and actually search for that, right?
Yeah,
why are they doing this?
Yeah, because what happens is, especially being an entrepreneur, it's a lonely, lonely,
mm-hmm.
Tough life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you're on an island.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lonely, dark life.
And it's never consistent.
It's never
right.
consistent.
There's
so many downsides to so many, if you have that personality where you need, or you think, you need security. Because look, at the end of the day, what I say, if you want real security, the more value you bring in whatever you do, that's what's going to create security, right?
Exactly.
So so I believe that the motivation has to be tied in with your inspiration. So you have to set a goal that I believe how humans are built is it needs to scare us and excite us at the same time, or there's not enough juice.
Right. Like a fear of flight almost.
There is. Yeah. And when you tie that in with your why, whether that's your family, your kids, your whatever that is. See, when I answered that ad, right, I had no job, no money, bills right around the corner. I had to eat, pay bills, and survive. But see, so my why was big enough, right? To pull me through.
The stakes were high.
And
enough.
I was scared to death, right? Yeah. Going into that interview, I had no idea. But here's what happened. My why now became bigger than me. See, Tommy was the first successful adult that told me they believed in me, and he showed me that they believed in me. I walked through fire for Tommy at that time. So now my why became bigger than me.
Mm. Right.
Right. And right. And here's the other thing. If you can't take action, then just pack it in.
Yeah, right?
What else can I tell you?
Otherwise, it stays in your head.
Yeah, how do you go from it's in your head to taking action if you're somewhat down with yourself? Because there's no motivation once you're down.
Here, I love this. I just did a video on this because I had this this long instant message sent to me. Here's the deal. At the end, and I work with a nonprofit called Warfighter Made, and they fabricate vehicles for the wounded vets that come back. So I see a lot of
people down,
issues, right? Yeah. And a lot of bipolar is thrown out there, like you know a term like like you got it, the flu,
right?
It's craziness. Here's the deal, and again, I don't make the rules; life makes the rules. Here's the deal: you got to get out of your bubble. You got to get out of your little world, and you want to go to a children's hospital. See this 12-year-old little girl fighting for her life and her family, trying to get through it. Go to a convalescent home when the time is ticking and they can't turn that clock back. Right. Get out of your world. And here's the other thing I tell them: your story isn't about you. Your story is about the other person that you can help to get through. And that's what Monster Motivator TV is all about. It's the story's not about you. And when we promote them, I tell them right off the bat, Your company, your whatever it is that you do is going to come after they know who you are. Mm-hmm. I want to take them behind that black curtain. I want to take that mask off, right? So they can really see who you are. But that, to me, life is very, very simple, but just not always easy. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people make it way more complicated. But when you're in that kind of funk, here's the deal. You're not seeing out because you're stuck in that little bubble, poor me. And here's the other thing. Victims never win. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to stay the victim, you're going to be a victim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's...
You'll stay like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like with my mother right now, she's miserable. She's, you know, she's sick, she's old, blah, blah, blah. But she stays in her own head. I said, I'm not... I don't blame you for being so depressed. I would be too. What's your life like? You're in bed, getting up, this, that, you know. I mean, what is this? Mm-hmm. But... We tried and we can't get her out of it, you know, because she's, I think, you know, it's probably like a clinical depression, so we're trying to work with some medication and stuff. But there's something that really is painful to watch.
Yeah.
You know, your mother disintegrating, not wanting to come out of that bubble that you mentioned.
It's the only disease that makes you not want to make a cure because you're so down. You don't want to find an answer.
Right.
And that's the struggle. Because then
you're
in
feel
a cyclical,
nobody, yeah, you feel nobody hears you.
That's
nobody
right.
understands you.
That's right.
But you got to reach out and understand. You know, that's the thing. I think the thing that keeps people alive is hope, you know. Mm-hmm. And they got to have hope. You know, you got to look forward to something.
And you also have to look at, there's so many people that wish they had your problems.
Yeah.
And you can't see that because you, like you said, they don't want to get out of that bubble.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, right, that you have to be able to, it's you. This is your journey, right? Nobody else's. So you're either going to figure out, what do I need to do? Or you're not.
Right.
You know, so,
and
I tell people all the time, like in the personal development world, the self-help world, if anybody tells you they created anything new, run. Don't look back. Yeah. This goes back to antiquity. This goes back to the beginning of time, right?
Right.
This is just whatever resonates with you. But I did a great video on that because there's so many people that think they have it so horrible. But man, Look around.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A lot of people suffering a lot more than you.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Now, so you mentioned the videos. Where can people watch them? Where can they find out more about you?
I have two websites. It's DaveDailyMM.com, Monster Motivator, and MonsterMotivatorTV.com. Mm-hmm. And we're up to, this week, I think I have two or three set, and I think we're on number 45. I always missed the number. My marketing manager, she yells at me all the time, right? She always keeps me straight. But number 50 is going to be so fun because we're turning the tables. Mm. Number 50 is going to be, who is the Monster Motivator? They're going to send the questions in to me.
Oh, that's great. That's good.
And we call it, you know, the Monster Motivator TV, what makes it so fun is like this, right? Mm-hmm. There's no questions already set. It's real, it's raw, and it's live.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I ask questions as they come to me.
Right.
That's great.
That's the way it is. And if you're into the guest, if you're into the person, then you don't need an outline.
Some of the people we've had on, and check out when you, I think we'll have it up this week, but I just did an episode. Danny Bedford, his name is, and he's writing his second book. The kid's 19 years old, born with cerebral palsy, right? And he wasn't supposed to, his dad said he held him in his hand.
Oh, wow.
That's how tiny. Whoa. Wasn't supposed to live. Wasn't supposed to do anything. He made, and we're going to put the video on our homepage. He made the swim team in his high school, and he can't use from his waist down.
Wow.
And there's a video that this kid doing his thing. I get the chills. You got to hear the crowd for this kid. Yeah. Every time it looks like he's going under, and his dad was there. He did the episode with us. He goes, Dave. He goes, I just wanted to jump in. Yeah. And this kid he just did it. And he's such a beast. He's a motivational speaker. He's on his second book. He's writing just finishing up his second book at 19 years old.
Wow.
A beast.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. Sometimes if you take the adverse condition and you turn it around, you know, you can make a big deal.
Absolutely.
I mean, this kid's story should embarrass most people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like I'm doing nothing. Right? I can use my leg.
But I mean, the ones that are complaining,
totally,
I mean, you should be embarrassed.
So what's your website again?
It is DaveDailyMM.com.
Okay.
And then MonsterMotivatorTV.com.
Okay, that's easy. And people can find you on social media through those websites stuff too?
Yeah, so social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all the whole bit.
Okay, are they all like Monster Motivator?
All the same, yeah.
Cool.
You know, we have to cut down that learning curve for
me,
so I told my girl to make
it's
it nice and simple.
Such a good name, the Monster Motivator. I'm like, already feeling better about myself. And it also feels kind of like no bullshit, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not like happydaysagain.com or something.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
Right. No, it's
got to get dirty.
Cool.
That's life.
Now, so you do this for companies and stuff. Do you do like one-on-one also for people?
You know what? I really don't.
Right.
Just because I'm really more focused on building the Monster Motivator TV.
Right.
That's really my – and then tying in the keynotes with it. Eventually, we'd like to take this nationwide.
Yeah. Then you reach a lot more people than just one by one.
And you know what it is, though, too? At the end of the day, Sam, I love it. I just love it. When I'm listening to their stories and anytime I'm around entrepreneurs or overachievers or people that weren't supposed to make it and they made it because that was my story, it's a brotherhood, it's a sisterhood, it's, you know, we're just so there, you know. I don't know how else. I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
Well, Dave Daly, thank you so much for joining us.
Great.
Everybody check out his website. I guess if you have a business or something, call on him. Motivate the hell out of you guys, right?
Jeez. Ready to go run a marathon.
Yeah. Wow. So very cool. Thank you so much. Are you going to write a book soon too?
Oh, it's actually my book is going to be done the end of the month, actually.
That's
my
amazing.
First book.
Wow,
High School Dropout, and this whole story is amazing.
Yeah, there you go.
The first
you see,
book.
It can
it's called,
be done.
It's called Knockout Fear in the First Round.
All right.
Good.
Sounds
good marketing.
Good. Yeah. You see, the man can do that. He's got the muscles to show
yes,
for
it. Yes, he does. Ladies. Well,
thank you guys so much for inviting me.
Of
Absolutely.
Course. And again, we thank you for making the drive as well. You know, we're honored. And we wish you continued success.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All the best to
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you all for listening. Tori, thank you.
Thank you.
As always. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.